Okay, with God's help, this Shabbos, we're going to have the opportunity to continue our study of Torah with the enhanced study of Parshas Naso. And of course, Rabbi Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi points out that the word Naso seems somewhat out of place. Why don't we use the word Pakod, Pakodes B'nei Gershon, Sforas B'nei Gershon, which seem to be more accurate. The idea is to count them. So Rabbi Baruch Mordechai Shalita answers that Naso implies a sense of pride, of Nisias Rosh, of holding one's head up tall and proud. Unless you think that this particular type of pride leads to hubris, it's also gamheim lebeis avosam. They're not unique. They, like the B'nai Kahas, don't get their pride in their own sense of self-importance. Rather, their importance comes from the fact that, like B'nai Kahas that we finished with in last week's parasha, have the chance to serve Hashem more closely by carrying and then later setting up his kelim. This is not just an accounting, it's an upgrade in life. We don't just say Sforis B'nai Levi, because it's not just about counting B'nai Gershon, it's about an upgrade worthy of the term Nisias Rosh or Naso. Later, the bulk of the Parsha, the very longest Aliyah in the Parsha, brings us to the story of the Sota. And it's a terrible, tragic story about a couple that has their own issues of trust between the two of them, and in that context, the Torah tells us, "Umina afar asher bekarka hamishkan yikach hakohen v'nasan al hamayim." From the dust that's on the floor of the mishkan, the kohen should take it and place it into the water. So the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph explains that the Sota dust is a zechus that comes because Avraham Avinu noted that he was afar ve'efer. Now, why reward Avram's humility with the afar of the sota? It just seems sort of out of place of all the mitzvos in the Torah to give a connection. So Rav Pam Zatzal explained that that humility is that which allows Shalom Bayis to reign. When one side of a family is so headstrong in a marriage, it often leads to all sorts of difficulties. By leading with an awareness of a person's place in the relationship, of das ayinei anochi afar va'efer, Avraham Avinu demonstrated to each of us, his children, the ability to put a relationship first. In that case, it was his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's a zechus that's supposed to be learned by his children as well. And so, min ha'afar sheyeh b'karka mishkan, we should learn from the afar of Avraham Avinu. Then the Gemara goes on and points out, kol roa suta asota mekelkula yazir atzum min ayayin. Why? Because of the fact that the sota is followed immediately by the storyline of the Nazir, we find out that the Nazir has a responsibility to be particular. And we're told, Kol Yimei Nizro Kadosh Yiyya. We're told that all the days of his Nazir, he's called a Kadosh. Of Nissen Alperts, that's how I'll explain, that the Nazir's Kedusha is what we call a Kedusha Saguf. His whole essence is sanctified. And it's for that reason that he can't become Tameh, even for a relative who passes. Why? What's the big deal? Let him become Tameh, so what's the big crisis? So Rav Nissen Zatzal explained that when a relative passes, the surviving relative feels the loss so personally that it is perceived as if a part of the person himself was taken. The relative who's still alive feels that he's so lost, so strong is that power of love, of Ahava. So parenthetically, so potentially constructive or destructive. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech declared when he said, Ki aza kamavis Ahava, that love is as strong as death. And it's the Nazir who overcomes the physical bond of love in relationships and chooses to please his idealism in the relationship with Hashem. So for him, there's no ability to sever that relationship through Tumas Meis, since Nazir Elokav al Rosho. What's guiding him? It's the Nazir Elokav. He has chosen to prioritize differently as a Kadosh LaHashem, and as a result, has to make a different perspective, and therefore he puts his Tumas Meis second to his Nazirus. Yet still we're told that at the time that he becomes Tahor, he is v'chiper alav me'asher chata ala nefesh. He has to atone for the fact that he sinned upon the soul. And the question has to be raised, why is the Nazir referred to as a chote, as a sinner? So the Gemara explains that that's because Shetzir Atzmo min Ayayin. And Mori v'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita notes that in regard to the Rambam, one's supposed to proceed in what we call a derech ha'mamutza, in a middle-of-the-road approach to life. Now, sometimes in response to the world, one needs to go to a different extreme. So in response to the Arayos, this is extremely important. Going to extremes is a rabbinic response to a different extreme. We find the same thing in regard to arrogance and anger. But at that alone, is not the ideal way of running the world, and it needs a kapara. May I parenthetically add that that may be the kapara, similar to the type of kapara that is identified by the Gemara in Chulin, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we should be mechaper over the fact that he was memait the yareach. The understanding is a similar one in that regard. We have to go ahead and counteract. We have to go ahead and realign al shamiyat esha yareach. It's not necessarily a kapara and atonement. It's a kapara setting things back in its right way and in its right situation. And that's true for the Nazir as well. At the end of the Aliyah, we're told, that this is the way Birkas Kohanim is supposed to go. And we recite the tripart blessing, Yivarechecha Yisa, and we end off by saying, V'yaseim lecha shalom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should place shalom. And this Birkas Kohanim ends with the language of Sima, he should place it upon you. Yet, in Parshas Bechukosai, when we're told about shalom, we're promised a different bracha, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give. There, the word is not a language of Sima, but rather Nitina, right? The idea of placing. And is there any difference to be identified? So the Gemara Menachas Andaf Nun Tes Amud Beis says that Nesina seems to be more long-term, while Sima seems to be a more temporary granting. And if that's the case, don't the Kohanim have a responsibility to use the word Nesina to make the bracha more long-lasting? Where Baruch Shneerson, the Chabina Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, who's often quoted at the end of the Pardes Yosef with his Aras, so he pointed out that there's an additional difference in that Nesina involves a granting from the outside, and Sima is something that's more readily absorbed internally. So based on these two ideas, Rav Schlesinger Shalita, the Rav of Gilo, explains that in Parshas Bechukosai, the bracha comes from a piece from external pressure. V'nasati shalom ba'aretz, it's an external one. It doesn't change our attitude of our enemies. It just makes sure that the enemies don't attack. But when we talk about Birchas Kohanim, we want that to be a complete and total sense of shalom. V'yaseim lecha shalom. Sima, in that case, is less apparent, but it's definitely there, more long-lasting. It's already a part of us, and therefore, in our bracha, we want not just a large, overwhelming, looming shalom, we want a shalom that will endure all the way through. We continue, and we read most of the parsha towards the end of the Sedra is dedicated to the Karbanos of the Nisim. We're told that the Nisim donated Shesh Eglos Tzav, that they donated 6 wagons. Ramosha Tzvi Neria Zatzal, the famous Rav of Kfar Aroeh, pointed out that while the rest of the people were busy trying to build the Mishkan, the Nesi'im were busy with worrying about transportation and engineering. They get praised in the Sifri for their initiative, and by the way, for the fact that they came together, Agalah Shnei Nesi'im, one wagon per 2 Nesi'im. See, Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was weary about allowing the Mishkan to be carried via wagon instead of on the shoulder. But only after being told by Hashem it was okay, does Moshe Rabbeinu accept it. Only then are the Nesi'im ready to bring and celebrate the Chanukah Sabayis. First, they had to be able to overcome. Then they had to be able to work together. By being able to demonstrate, work together, and be accepted in the process by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were ready to go ahead and achieve great things. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're going to read the story of the prelude to Shimshon HaGibor. And here we read about Manoach and Hatzalfuni, who were involved in dealing with the Malach. And so at one point, Manoach turns to the Malach and he asks him to come and eat. And the Malach answers him, Tatreinu lo achal b'lachmecha. And Rav Yitzchak of Vorki Zatzal once explained that we cannot stop a guest. In other words, Hachnasas Orchim can't be fulfilled as on a mitzvah in the Torah basis. Right? In other words, like, you know, some people, they have to achieve a merit badge. They want to check in the kalim. I did the mitzvah. That doesn't work when it comes to Achnasas Orchim. Achnasas Orchim works on the basis of who you are, how you fulfill the mitzvah. Here, the mitzvah is best fulfilled as a mitzvah of seichel. You should do it properly because it makes sense to do it properly. We have a responsibility to do mitzvos in the best way that we possibly can. But we have a special situation when it comes to chesed to somebody else to make sure that we don't just do it because we want to get the minimal amount to be able to get the check. Rather, we want to do it because that's the ideal way. Im tats reini, if you're going to delay meat, lo chal b'lachmecha, I'm not going to be an ideal guest. Right? If all you want is to be able to achieve that, we have to do things on a level above. Okay, speaking of a level above, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us the opportunity to achieve all sorts of great levels and grant us a Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom to all.